So we wrapped up the I Am sermon series last week. I am aware of that. However, and I know it's been 7 weeks, seven I Am, 7 weeks, but there's that part about the Holy Spirit in between it all, and like we just got to bring that in, right? Like, remember we kind of recapped that in amongst all, in between the I Am, the way and the truth of the life, and I Am the vine, Jesus tells his disciples and promises them the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, it's not technically the I Am sermon series, but it kind of tags on from that. Don't tell Pastor Jamie. She said it was 7 weeks. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, to lead them to truth is what the scriptures say. Jesus further states that they will be gifted peace of mind and heart upon Jesus leaving the earth. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is often referred to as the Spirit of God, and manifests itself as wind. It manifests itself as other things too, but that's like really the predominant. It's wind. The winds came, parted the seas. The winds came and dried something up, or the winds came and circulated the clouds, and then rain came. So you often kind of hear about that in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was with us as humans, but not in us. It was with us and around us, but not in us. Because the Holy Spirit has always been with God. The Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is described as our advocate, sometimes counselor, and even companion. Upon being given to believers to dwell within us, and we're going to read these scriptures soon. So the Holy Spirit has always been part of the Trinity, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. There's three. I only got two fingers up there. There's three, actually. How we humans get to interact changes as God's marvelous plan unfolds in the New Testament to bring us salvation, just as prophesied in the Old Testament many, many times. The Spirit has always been with us, not in us. The intimacy of our relationship with the Spirit increases tremendously when the Spirit starts to reside in us, within our little temples. Similar to the intimate and dynamic relationship with Jesus that we talked about last week, I am in you and you are in me, remain in me as I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Essentially, we're just all one giant web of connection, and we just need to remain. But we do get distracted from squirrels to time to time, so that's why we come to church and we read the same scriptures over and again, and we learn about new stuff and how we can handle life and our new evolution, right? We always talk about faith as a journey. So now we're going to go to John 14, 15 through 26, and then we'll dig into a little bit more. All right, so Jesus starts out, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." Judas, not to be mistaken by Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that same name, said to him, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you. again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happened, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. They're going to head to the Garden of Gethsemane after this. Irrelevant to what we're learning about now, but just so we're doing that timeline thing, right? So there, Jesus is that last gasp, getting everything in there, and now they're about to head into the Garden of Gethsemane after being told about the Holy Spirit. So they'll go there, and Jesus is actually going to talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to cover that, but if you want to continue the story, go to John 16. The scriptures are clear, once again, that it is not enough to have knowledge. We have to apply that knowledge. It starts right off with that. If you love me, obey my commandments. We have to apply that knowledge. We have to apply that love with our behaviors. We have to implement God's commands in our life to show in our conduct and behaviors our commitment. It allows us to live fuller lives here on earth by eliminating as much sin in our lives as we can, as sin separates us from God. Our behaviors also demonstrate to others, non-believers or other Christians that are struggling, what agape love is in action. It's in our conduct that is different than people are following the world's ways instead of God's ways. We have the opportunity to be beacons of light shining in the darkness in the way Jesus said, love one another. If you love me, obey my commandments. Now, I'm going to go off for a second because God and I kind of struggle on this. We wrestled a little bit, but somebody needs to hear this, and so I'm going to go off a little bit. If you love me, obey my commandments. Somebody listening, or maybe it's all of us, maybe it's me, you can think that then is God's love conditional? No, it's not. It doesn't say, I will love you if you obey my commandments. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments. So I want to make that clear. And it's like we've kind of talked about this whole thing. It's you can have the knowledge, but if you don't apply it. You can love somebody, but if you don't apply it with your behaviors, do you actually love them, or are you just saying words? Right? So, like, I can't tell somebody I love them and then never talk to them or shun them or treat them badly. Do I really love them, or do I like the idea of loving them? So he's saying, if you love me, obey my commandments. And it's for our good. The other thing I want to talk about is when we all know and understand and follow Jesus' commandments, we're all on one accord, right? That's the other purpose of this. So as an illustration, for those of you that drive and those of you that are going to drive, you're going to have to learn this stuff. You need to know not only the laws of driving, but you also have to know the culture of our driving, of wherever you are. And the culture of driving changes a little bit from place to place. The backcountry roads of Indiana and Iowa are different driving than they are in the city of Tampa. A little bit different. So it's not only the laws, but it's the culture too. The most uneasy I felt for a while was when I was visiting the Dominican Republic, and we were in the car, and it was Pastor Jamie and me and Tia Gale, and we're going from La Urena to El Tamarindo, and I'm pretty cool, right, sitting in the car, and it's like weaving, and like the traffic is a little bit different. There's no real stoplights. There's no stop signs. There's really no signs. And if there are signs, they're not facing you. They're all broken up. And we get to this town where it just all of a sudden there is tons of traffic. And there's like kind of like almost like a traffic circle, but it's not really a traffic circle. And there is so many cars. And so, like, you don't really have the traffic circle to guide you, and everybody's just kind of moving around, and it's just like chaos. That's when I started getting a little nervous. Pastor Jamie's white knuckling it. I'm starting to get uneasy, and I look over at Tia Gale, like, are we gonna live? And she's just like, just enjoying, like, we're out on the country road, nice Sunday walk, nice Sunday ride. She's just chilling. The pastor driving the car, he's fine, right? He's fine. Nobody's freaking out. Like, there's some honking and stuff like that, but nobody's freaking out. I'm waiting for the 50, 60 car pileup. There's not even one. There's no even fender bender. And we're making our way through this thing, and it just looks like chaos to me. And then I got to thinking, these folks know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing because I don't know the traffic laws here, and I don't know the culture of driving. But they do. They're all on one accord. And then when I started looking at this chaotic mess, it actually started shaping up to be where there was method to the madness. Because all the drivers knew what they were doing. I was the one that wasn't on the same accord. So when I think about another aspect of why it's so important if you love Jesus to follow the commandments, so we're all on one accord. We all understand the traffic laws and the culture of how we navigate while we're driving. Very important element. All right, so that's my little sidetrack, just so that we understand that. So Judas's comment in verse 22, I always love how our humanness comes in here and we can understand where people are. So in 22, Judas says, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Very important question. It demonstrates the need of the Holy Spirit within us so we can know the truth, like we read about at the beginning. Judas is still focusing too much on the physical world. Right? He's waiting for Jesus to overthrow the Roman government, to bring peace in the land from a ruling a community instead of ruling the kingdom of God. He's thinking too much in the physical. He's like, we need statues, we need posters, we need Jesus's face on a coin. We need a decree. He's waiting for that. Jesus, of course, is referring to the broader kingdom beyond the physical world. Judas will soon see through the Holy Spirit the truth as the Holy Spirit will teach and remind the disciples of everything that Jesus said. Here is the cool thing, and through this, the disciples will share the gospel and more folks will be saved and receive the Holy Spirit. So, like, I figure this is one of those moments where Judas says something like this. And then Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit comes. He's like, oh. He's like, I wasted so much time on that presentation to put those posters out. Like, I had it all formulated. I, like, figured out how we'd put Jesus' face on that coin and, like, everybody would know Jesus rules the world. Like, we do that, though, don't we? When we don't quite understand, we then put our energy into things that may or may not serve how we need to. Verse 27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift of the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus's peace is far beyond the peace we often think of. This is the peace that passes understanding, remember? Not that we don't know what it is, it's that the peace surpasses the chaos or the circumstance. It's feeling okay when in turmoil because your faith knows that God's got it. It doesn't mean that our brains compute how God's got it. It means that in the depths, even though we can't see how something's going to be resolved, we have that underlying peace. That's the peace that God is talking about. Verse 28 through 29. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. The disciples still do not understand Jesus. They've been living with this guy 24/7 for 3 years, and they still don't understand Jesus and Jesus' mission fully. Jesus is trying to convey that there is greater things beyond them that must be done. Jesus may or may not be frustrated with the disciples' lack of understanding. I feel like kind of like he was human, but he's also God here on earth, right? So I feel like part of him's like, guys, I keep telling you this. Like, why do you not believe in me? But then also, he's also God, and he understands the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. So their understanding is only going to go so far. So at the end of the day, I would say Jesus is not really frustrated with them because he knows that they're going to get understanding. But he keeps trying. At the same time, he keeps telling them the same things over and over again. And we talked about through the I am statements, he gets more and more aggressive with like being very pointed. Jesus is telling them that the Holy Spirit will bring them understanding, and the fulfillment of prophecy will build their faith. Right? I am telling you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe. So that when prophecy comes true, it increases our faith. When we go back to the Old Testament back here, there's prophecy all over that. And as we follow through the Bible, that prophecy comes true. That's for us to build our faith and be like, oh, God said and God did. Verse 30 through 31, I don't have much time to talk to you two. I don't have much time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. That is Satan. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. If you love me, obey my commands from the very beginning. Man, I love Jesus. So the world will know that you love Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is once again stepping in and being the perfect example for us. He's walking the talk. The stanza opens with, if you love me, obey my commands. And it closes with Jesus saying, I love God. So I will play out this mission. I will obey God. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that Jesus wouldn't do. It's the reason Jesus came to earth and walked it in these flesh bodies. You are not alone as God is in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, which both reside within you. You have so much more power than what you think you do. Do we remember from John 14, 12 through 14? I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it isn't looking for the Holy Spirit and doesn't recognize the Holy Spirit. But you know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives within you. Isn't it really cool how God just gives and gives and gives and gives? If we kind of go back to the Old Testament and we think, and there's different ways that the Holy Spirit shows up, but the wind part is just like amazing because the Spirit of God, as often recalled in the Old Testament, is kind of this mysterious being. Wind is kind of mysterious. The power of the wind to part the seas lives within you the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. Isn't that cool to think about? The power to part a sea and allow people to walk on dry land is within you. There's so much that we can tap into that we don't. Please understand how much God loves you, giving you Jesus, giving you the Holy Spirit, so that you can do even greater works than what we read about Jesus doing. We are all one connected web so that we can glorify God in how we live and how we treat people and how we treat ourselves. If you love me, obey my commands. That's for us just as much as it is to glorify God. So we're all just those little cars on one accord, moving through the chaos of life with the peace that passes understanding, because we have the counselor, the advocate, working on our behalf always. Amen.